Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, welcome, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and Kathy and I have some very special guests. We have Josh and Hayden from Texas, and they are a couple that actually got exposed to Abide through Bob Rockwell and Carrie.
Oh, excellent. I love Bob and Carrie.
And they attended a retreat and started to learn how to live it out. And as they've been living it out, they now have a heart to join leadership and give it away, which we're excited about. And you guys actually were able to come up to our, they came up to our taping, Kathy, in November, where we taped some of our new courses, and they were, so they'll be on screen here sometime.
Excellent. Love it.
And where exactly do you guys live right now?
Yeah. So we're based out of moving to Plano, Texas now, in McKinney, Texas, but in that North Texas, Dallas area.
Yeah. And so we're excited to learn about your life and how it all came about. But why don't you start with, our audience always loves to hear, how did you come to know Christ, you know, in your life? So Josh, why don't you start, and then we'll have Hayden share.
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely say the prodigal son story resonates deeply with me, because it seems like that was, that's my story. So my life modeled that story in a sense. So it's funny enough, my dad just sent me a video from a church sermon from the church that we grew up in Chicago. And so we constantly grew up in church. We were always, you know, dragged to church, as I would like to say. It was a very old school church. So there was no kids club. There was no youth program or anything like that. You sat in the adult section and you sat up there and you just heard the word. And so, you know, we were heavily involved just because on my dad's side family, they were very involved in the church. And so that was my life growing up. So it was one of those things where I grew up Christian. And so because I grew up Christian, I had a faith that I would say was more of a head knowledge faith. And so I knew the right words. I knew who Jesus was. I knew what Jesus did. I knew what baptism was baptized as a child, you know, probably about 10 years old. And so in my head, I knew all of these things. And I knew, you know, the Lord's Prayer, and, you know, all of those things were really much of a head knowledge. But what I found that happened is, you know, as soon as I got closer into high school, that's where, you know, I found my friends, put in quotation marks, where, you know, we went a little bit wild, and then college, you go wild. And then next thing you know, you're 3 years in the college and you're not, I haven't been in church in 3 years per se. You know, I'm not thinking about it. I'm not waking up. I don't even know where my Bible is. And just living a life that was definitely very familiar to the story of the prodigal son. And living a life that got me a lot of consequences, and a life that brought a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, where I felt like I hurt a lot of people in my life because of my behaviors. And that was leading up until probably about, I guess I was maybe 23 at the time. And I was in a season where I found out I was having my first child out of wedlock, and it was a complete surprise. You know, I had started some personal development and started my first business. And I felt like I was getting my life together. But again, it was all just head knowledge stuff. It was all personal development, try hard, be disciplined. And that was the route I took. And so with that route, you know, I had my first daughter, had my first business, and on the outside looking in, very successful, but on the inside, still struggling with sin, still struggling with sin patterns, still struggling with identity issues. You know, I was a gym owner at the time. So in my head is like, I'm a gym owner. That's who I am. Mm-hmm. And that was when I first met an amazing pastor. His name was Steve Frisell. I met him at my actually working out. And we had a very long conversation. And he just walked me through what I was feeling and walked me through that concept. And then my question to him was that, you know, I hear in these sermons all the time where it's like, if you've been hurt, you know, that's okay. Jesus is there for you. And my question to him was, well, what if you're the person that did the hurting? You know, what if you're the person was just living in a way that was just wild and reckless and was all for yourself, and you hurt a lot of people in the process? You know, I can't think of people who hurt me, but I can think of a lot of people that I hurt.
Sure.
Christ for that. And he walked me through that. And that was a very, very powerful moment. And so I was rebaptized at the age of 23. Yeah, at the age of 23. Since then, it's like I finally started to understand a little bit of what does it actually mean to be a disciple of Christ? And what does it mean to follow Christ in your heart and not just in your head? And so that's how I would kind of describe my salvation story. It was a little bit of, you know, I knew it growing up, but I didn't know it until I was at my wit's end and broken.
Whereabouts in Chicago did you live?
Yeah, so it was right off of Ogden Avenue in Cicero. So I guess that would have been Southside Chicago. So we were there for quite a while to elementary school, and then we moved out to like Naperville or Aurora area.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I grew up. I grew up in Valparaiso, Indiana, but around Chicago. My dad was a surgeon there in Chicago, and then we lived in Chicago for quite a while. So I know a lot about that. That's interesting. But thank you so much for sharing that. And then Hayden, how about you?
Yeah, I was really blessed growing up in a home that my family loved the Lord. And I think growing up, I was like, wow, we have a great family. We love the Lord so much. I was involved in the youth group, and I got baptized around the age of 12 and just really got to dive in deep with the Greek community. And then when I got off to college, I realized, oh, there's more to this than just your parents encouraging you to go or being really blessed with a great community. Like, this is effort on my end, and I need to have a deep relationship with the Lord and not just go and hear great sermons and pray, but what does my relationship with the Lord look like? And so college was really the opportunity for me to develop of what does it look like to have a deep relationship with the Lord and to have true faith. So during my college years, I think I was really tested. I was an athlete in college, so Sunday service wasn't really a thing for me because we had practice. And so it really was a lot of just like internal, okay, what do I want my relationship with the Lord? Like, what does the Lord intend a relationship to look like with him? And so really my journey started, you know, going deeper in the college time for me. And then ever since then, just it's a learning. It's always learning. And I'm sure we'll talk about it here shortly, but Abide has really just changed perspective for us of what does it look like to go deeper? What does it look like to really hear from the Lord and know what that means? So for me, it's ever changing. I was blessed growing up to be involved in the church and to be involved in a great community with people pouring into me a lot. But now after college, having a family, it's like, hey, this is something that you have to develop on your own. So it was sweet to see the Lord change that and just go deeper. Just kind of the way I grew up and having limiting beliefs on things and just being able to see what does the Bible truly say about that. So
Where did you grow up? What city did you grow up in?
Yeah, I grew up in Allen, Texas. So right next to where we are now.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't go far. I went to college in Denton, Texas. So just 45 minutes away, and then kind of stayed in the Metroplex. So I've been in Texas my whole life.
Yeah. What kind of athlete were you?
I was a cheerleader. So I cheered my whole life and then went off to the University of North Texas to cheer all 4 years. And I was blessed to be able to coach 4 years collegiately as well outside of college.
Oh, so, how fun. That's cool. Fantastic.
Yeah. I never believed that cheerleading was a sport until I saw the inside of it. Flipping yourself over.
Yeah. Come on. I mean, that's not a sport, right?
I say at the collegiate level, it is.
Yes. Did you have any conversation with Linda? Because she was a cheerleader.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. When you get together, you know, she was a cheerleader. That's how when we met.
I cheered all through high school and college too.
Very cool.
You did?
I did. Yep. Cheered. I mean, it was a small. Colorado College is a small school, so
yeah,
very different than cheering in Texas. But indeed.
Wow.
We have some great pictures of that I'll show my grandkids someday of these stunts flying, doing liberties and doing all kinds of, you know, fun things.
Could you do cartwheels and stuff, Kathy?
Well, yeah, but cartwheels aren't the thing anymore.
No.
They've come a long way from that sort of thing. So I was better at flipping in the air than I was on the ground.
Yes.
So I liked to be thrown and flipped.
Yes, I'm 100%.
Well, you can have Dan practice, you know, with you a little bit on that.
Yes.
So we had a lot of fun.
Where did you go to school, Josh?
Yeah, so I bounced around. So I went to, first it was a small private school in Aurora, Illinois for business for 2 years. And I actually went to UNT. And then I went to Texas Women's University. And then I made the decision to drop out with a semester left to start my first business.
Wow.
Parents were not happy about that. So they bounced around from a few different schools.
Yeah.
So how did you two meet?
Yeah, I would love to hear that story. Yes. How did you meet? So, what attracted you to each other as you tell the story?
So we actually met through work. So I hired you. Mm-hmm. So Hayden was finishing up. I think you were a senior in college. And so she was finishing up. And then she actually came and started working at my gym. And through there, it was obviously we kept it very professional. But after about 2 years of us really working close together, her stepping up into just really helping me run the business in a sense.
So you had set up your gym in Texas?
Correct. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So it was over in Plano, Texas, actually. And so we worked together for about 2 years, her really helping me just operate the gym. And, as a small business owner, we spent a lot of time together. And so from there, just there were a lot of qualities in Hayden that made me start really reflecting on my walk with Christ of like, okay, well, wow, this is what it looks like for someone who not only grew up in her faith, she grew up strong in her faith. And yes, in college, she started having a deeper relationship with the Lord, but someone who was very genuine in how they operated, whether that was in business and how we treat people, whether that was like in our personal lives. Which is someone very true to like their moral compass. And that was just very inspiring to me. And then it was also, I was very obsessed with business at the time. That was my identity and my life. And so also seeing someone who could walk alongside me and just crush it there, it was, I couldn't resist. So that's where I asked her out. And then from there, we started dating.
Yeah. I feel like
how old were you then?
22. I was 22.
You were 22. Yeah. And then I was 24 now.
You were 24. One of my favorite things that Josh really taught me, but I learned a lot about him through it, was just seeing more in the future. And so for me, it was very much just like what was right in front of me. I was going to tackle it and I was going to do it the best of my ability. But he really saw so much in me that I just had no idea that I had the potential to do so much more. And so what I loved about Josh is he always wanted you to grow. He was always growing so much and just learning and wanting to be better and wanting to advance in the next thing. And for me, it was always just, okay, let's tackle what's right here. So for him to really stretch me and grow me of, hey, your potential is so much further than what you give yourself. And so that's what I loved about him, always striving for growth and always just pushing me to be better. And my parents are great and always wanted the best for me, but no one really poured into me as much as Josh did in the first 2 years of really knowing each other. And so just that growth aspect and always growing to that next level was something I loved so much. It pushed me and drove me to do so much more than I ever thought I could.
Yeah. How long did you guys date before you got married?
For quite a bit. So that's that's a rocky story. So, and it was just a very golly story. So we actually started thinking about marriage a couple years later, and then we started going through a premarital counseling program. Mm-hmm. And because of that premarital counseling program, I broke up with Hayden. But it was one of those funny stories where it was, but for both of us, it was truly from a right place. That was the first time ever I started learning about the, husbands love your wife as Christ would. And then actually starting to understand what that verse means, right? And what it means to show up as a leader, as a husband, what it means to show up really as a leader, as a father. And it made me realize that there was a lot more work I had to do. And then same for Hayden. So just finding how the Lord works is like we did that. And we probably spent a good year apart, would you say, where there wasn't a lot of connection. We were no longer kind of working together and, went off in separate things. A year later, we found ourselves right back together, but in a position where we found ourselves right back together, where we both had done a lot of growth and a lot of that was seeking the Lord. And then finally felt that we were at a place where, yeah, let's do this and let's get married. And so we've actually been married for how many years now?
3 years.
3 years now?
Yeah. We've been married for 3 years, but we've kind of been off, I guess, and on for almost 8. So we've been around together for a while.
But it was incredible because it just started a whole new chapter. And we teach and we talk to our daughters about this a lot of just, there definitely would have been more fruits if we would have done things right from the get-go. Like we know that. But we also know God can use a broken story and he can use us. And so it was great because when we got married, is like the trajectory of our walk with Christ just like started taking off even more. That's when we were committed. We're like, we're going to get married. The first thing we're doing right after marriage is we're serving at a church together. And so we're going to do it for a full year. And that's how we met Bob and started building our community and just meeting different people. And it was really awesome to see the fruits of what happens when we started to do it right. And so that was such a blessing.
Yeah. Tell us about your family right now. Who's all part of your family?
Yeah. So we have a big, weird family. so I mentioned the child out of wedlock. And so that was with a friend from school. And we were married for about a year and then just quickly realized that I still wasn't. That was right before I had gotten truly saved, in my opinion. And so we ended up in divorce at about a year. So we have a year daughter. She had another daughter from a previous relationship that I had stepped into her life and pretty much adopted. And so we have two beautiful daughters now. They are 11 and 10, about to be 12 and 11. And Hayden's been in their lives for the last 8 years, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And so they've always known her. And so it's been a really cool co-parenting situation. So we do a week on, week off. And it's to the point now where, like, for example, they homeschool the girls together. There's my ex-wife. Sierra actually works for my company, and her and Sierra will go get dinner with the kids. And so it's taken us a long time of kind of walking through that. But what we have found is that just really through showing up, like how Christ was treating them, like how Christ was, they've been actually coming to our church for pretty consistently for the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. And so we've been able to kind of walk through that. So we have this weird co-parenting relationship when people see it, but it's created a really cool dynamic for the girls.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And they're about ready to head into teenagers, huh?
Yes, we are walking in that. We are walking.
Exciting times coming up. Tell us, what are you both doing right now in terms of your work and activities? I know you got a business, Josh and Hayden. What are you guys doing?
Right now I'm currently in ministry. So I work at our church, but the Lord is calling us in a new direction. So I will be leaving that position and moving into whatever the Lord calls me. There's no 100% right now, but really excited just to dive deeper into Abide Ministry and some ministries in the next church that we connect in, and really putting focus on our kids and our family right now and just being the best support system that I can. So hopefully we'll stay in the realm of ministry, but really excited for where the Lord's going to take us.
And I've been a bootstrap entrepreneur for about a decade now. And so, first business started in a park, and then that led to owning the gym. And then from there, we've had a couple other businesses, but now we own a healthcare business. So something that has just blown our socks off. We've been just so blessed the last couple of years in watching this company scale. And so we have about 30 employees and very strong business partner who loves Christ. Another business partner who loved Christ, who unfortunately just passed away about a month ago now, but we love it, and we love what we do, and we love being able to kind of lead a company from what we like to say in God's way. And so been an entrepreneur for a while, and so that's kind of the full-time gig right now.
Yeah. Wow, that's beautiful. And I know that as you both discussed it, you met Bob and you got exposed to Abide. Tell us about getting exposed to that, and then what has that fundamentally mean? And we'll get into the second session. We'll get into some deep detail about that. But how has that moved you forward into your walk with God?
Yes. Yeah. So Abide came at a very, very perfect God time in our life. I always love, like in James, where it talks about, the testing your faith will, grow perseverance, and it's good for us. And we were at a period where we were definitely being tested in our faith. We were actually walking through, a little bit of a trial season with the girls and some stuff going on with the ex-wife and their family. And it put us in this very hard place where we had to really choose of, are we going to commit to what we believe in? Are we going to commit to each other and really push through this? And we chose that, which is just the benefit of having, godly men in your life who can also guide you in that path. And then from that, I had invited you and I to the retreat. And so we went to that retreat, and that was I had been learning a lot about what does it look like to be in discipleship, and what does it look like to follow Christ. But Abide, one of the hardest parts for me is I'm always like in my head, and I can really and you're there, and like, you're just like in your head. So when someone says, how do you be a disciple of Christ? And I'm like, okay, what's the 10-point checklist? And so it was such a transformative weekend because it was discipleship. It was truly like, it was finally taking all those things I had been learning about and then realizing that, wait, I'm trying to do this off of pure effort. And that's not what abiding is, right? It's abiding in the vine, right? It's like, it's not me who needs to produce the fruit. I just need to abide and the fruit will come. And so that was at such a critical point in our lives where we were walking through a pretty tough season and it had a pretty drastic impact on us.
Yeah. I think not only did it have a drastic impact in that way, but also too, you know, we've both walked with the Lord in our relationship, in our marriage, and with our kids, in our personal way. But for me, I was kind of doing my thing and he was kind of doing his thing. And then we would talk about it, but it was just kind of like, I learned this. I think what's been really neat for me through bringing Abide into our family has been, we're all in this together. We're all walking with the Lord together. And it feels more like we have unity in our walk versus just like, hey, Josh is walking, I'm walking, and let's just come talk about it. And so I feel like it really brought unity to our walk as a relationship and then as well in our family. And so it also, like he said, it came in a perfect time, but also just brought so much unity to our family, which was really sweet.
Yeah.
Which really breeds some intimacy too, right? A whole different level of spiritual intimacy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I've been trying to get Hayden to journal for years. But it just shows you the power of abiding. So at church this Sunday, she showed me her first full journal that's been completed.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And that was since starting with Abide.
What have you, Hayden, you know, and this is typical, by the way, of people saying, I don't journal. And they kind of think it's keeping a diary, which it's really not. What happened that you started to embrace it? And then how has that impacted you just to do that piece of it? Is that I'm starting to write down these things and I enjoy doing it.
Yeah, I think, well, first Bob pushing me so much every time he checked up on me. And I was like, yeah, I've kind of done a little bit here and a little bit there. And I was doing it here and I was doing it there, but I wasn't doing it every day. And when we came out to Colorado for the taping, we were in the car with Bob and Carrie and just were talking and just talking out loud about how the Lord has worked so deeply in our family from the time we did the retreat to the time we were in the car with them. Carrie said, well, did you journal about it? Well, kinda. And I really think from then on, it really just encouraged me so much that the Lord has worked so much. I don't want to forget it. I don't want to miss these things. I want to be able to share every detail to everybody and just be able to show everybody how the Lord does work so well in the darkest times. And so for me, it's just proof. Because sometimes when we hear, you know, some of our story, it's how does that work? And it's but God and the Lord worked. And so I think that was really pushed me to journal more. And then getting our girls involved the 1st of December, it was like, okay, well, if I'm going to push our kids to do this, I have to do this and I have to be on it. And so just, I think that was kind of the big turning point for me, but the Lord's worked so much and I just don't want to forget it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, we so appreciate hearing your story and how God brought you together. And you're on this great journey now. And so we'll be excited in our next session to kind of get into some specifics about that is, you know, how is that applied? And I know you've had mentioned that you've had a interesting dynamic, you know, with co-parenting that I think would be, you know, partly healthy to share because it kind of illustrates the heart of God and what he can do. And, you know, it's always based on free will. So it could have gone different directions, but just your willingness to let God work is kind of cool. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Josh and Hayden. And we are always just in awe of how you work in people's lives. You bring them together. Your heart is to have them thoroughly enjoy marriage, their family, work, the fullness of the grand life that you have planned for them. And we're so excited to see them experiencing it. And then what's going to happen down the road as they give this away. And we praise you and thank you and ask for continued favor for them in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us, guys, and sharing your story. I know it will be an encouragement to so many of our listeners. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.